Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, all you do, going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 2 minutes past five on your number one talk news and sports station. And on our road to 2023 for the Big Health Facts today, we have the African Democratic Congress's candidate, a presidential candidate who emerged victorious in the party's primary. He scored 978 votes to beat former Deputy Governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria, Professor Kingsley Moghalu, who scored 589 votes. And the pleasure we have Dumebi Kachukwu, who's got a media background. He's the CEO of Roots Television, a privately owned NGO dedicated to telling human angle stories that directly affects Nigerians. CEO of Accelerated Buildings and Kachukwu Farms, calls himself a love advocate and has dedicated his time to share weekly Sunday messages of love to encourage and inspire Nigerians to hope for a better country. And he's taking that out of the lenses into real life now. And thank you very much, Dumebi Kachukwu, for joining us on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you, Agogo.
Excellent.
I was going to tease you and call you Shemu just now.
Okay. Thank goodness. But congratulations. You've emerged as the candidate for the ADC. The last time you were on the station, you were an aspirant. And appears you've done your homework and you now have your party's mandate.
Correct.
Excellent.
That's correct, yes.
Great. It's crunch time, I can imagine. And by the way, everyone who is watching this online, you can see us on Facebook as well as on YouTube where this is being streamed live. If you've got questions for the presidential candidate, you can also go 0809-597-5805. That's on WhatsApp. And at some point, we can open the phone lines also too so that you can interact with Dumebi Kachukwu. So, you've got your work cut out, and I'm sure that... first and foremost, to get your reactions to how you emerged as the party's candidate. Appeared like it was a strong field. Interestingly, we had also had discussions with two of the contenders for your party's ticket on this same station also too. So was this a free and fair contest, Dumebi?
The contest was extremely free and fair. I agreed to take this this interview just to clear the air on this. We worked very hard as a campaign. We put in lots of sleepless nights in trying to engage the delegates. In the field, actually in that field, I was the only aspirant who had about the only aspirant. I mean, Manny was there, but in terms of real political experience, right? I was one of the only people who had 2 decades of political experience in the field, you know, delivered several successful candidates. So I knew what to do. It was a delegate election. A lot of aspirants approached this not understanding what was required of them. Okay, so I came in late, and when I came in, my first task was trying to see how I could help and assist the party in whatever way I could. The other candidates, Moyi and Mohalu, were already out there in the field. I remember my first experience in the field when I went to Lagos to meet with the Southwest delegates. And when we got there, a lot of the delegates were unhappy and didn't want to meet with me. And the problem was that they had met Mohalu just the day before. He had invited 3 delegates per state to come to Lagos to meet with him. And after the meeting, he had given each of the delegates 20,000 naira. This money didn't cover their transportation and hotel accommodation, so they were extremely upset. So in my meeting with them, I apologized on his behalf. I said, you know, tell you what, right? Mohalu is a fine gentleman. Every politician has a bad day. So you guys shouldn't take it out on the party by reacting that way. And I remember that I had done what we call a shegware, you know, on behalf of Mohalu to the delegates, and had given them $900 on his behalf, you know, just to say, listen, that was a bad day for him. Whilst he invited 3 delegates per state, in all my meetings, I asked them to invite all the delegates, all the voting delegates, because I wanted to interact with them. So typically I will have an average anywhere from 14 to 25 delegates per state in my meetings, because I wanted to feel the pulse of the delegates, hear what their issues and concerns were, understand what their issues with the party was, and understand the local situation, how properly structured the party was. And after each meeting, we'll set up WhatsApp groups, because I wanted to interact with them on a daily basis. And trust me, these guys know how to interact. And in the course of that interaction, I got to know them on a first name basis. I know their family members. I know their wives, you know. Some of them in the north say, oh, they will pray for me. Oh, you really care about issues. They will, I mean, my house is filled up with foodstuff. These people will send me, you know. So they saw me as one of them, someone who cared for them, and we talk consistently. So coming into the election, coming to Abeokuta, at some point the party had said, for all aspirants to be on an equal footing,
right,
that the party will bear the cost of transportation and accommodation for the aspirant, for the delegates. Now, this, we're talking about over 2,000 delegates, and we all knew that the party was not financially buoyant enough to do this, okay? So the expectation was that the aspirants would contribute, money towards this process. We were 12 aspirants, and when we did, when we felt the pulse of the aspirants, only 2 people, one lady contributed at 10 million naira, and it didn't seem like the other people wanted to. I believe maybe Mohalu did at some point later, but it seemed like no one was keen on doing that. I mean, so we felt if they were not going to do that, it's best we then deal with the delegates directly. So the aspirants, those who could, transported delegates to the convention venue and accommodated them. My campaign personally, every state delegation I reached out to us, we supported them. We got to the place and we accommodated as many as possible. I believe we accommodated over 85% of the delegates, irrespective of who they were pledged to. For me, all I was interested in was having a very successful convention. On the eve of the convention, I hosted all the delegates. In that hall, I had about 1,620 delegates, most of them pledged to my campaign. And, you know, came in there, and I mean, everyone could see that this house was for me, right? And at some point, I called them and said to the chairman that I love the energy I'm seeing here, but I want to make something clear. Mm. I hope no one expects that I'm going to pay money for votes, right?
Right.
And some of them were upset, like, this is what the people expect. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do this. That this is a commitment between in our party that no one's going to pay for any votes, so I'm not sharing any money. Okay? I made that clear. All the state chairmen were in this meeting. A vice chairman, Dr. Akogu, was also in that meeting. Mm. And you know what happened? This happened at about 3 a.m. the morning of the convention. Mm. As at between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., some of the other aspirants who are crying foul went and said visiting delegates hotel by hotel, giving them money to vote for them. Mm. My campaign head, these people were begging me, you have to respond, you need to do something about this. I'm like, I won't respond. I want to believe that when people tell you that they are for you, they are really for you. Mm. I was the last person to arrive at the convention venue. They had also put out information to the delegates to say I had pulled out of the race. Okay, that was not true. I got there, and when I got there, my heart sank. When I walked into the venue, it felt to me like I had lost the race because I didn't do what was expected of me. Mm. You know, but I just wanted to trust God that, you know, I had done the right thing, what I committed and what all aspirants committed to doing. Mm. Right in the venue, as voting started, we saw people canvassing and negotiating and transacting for votes right there. It was happening there. Mm. At some point, the MC kept on calling a particular aspirant that they are going to disqualify you if you don't come back into this venue, right? A lot was going on there, and I was watching with dismay. I sat down there watching, and I said to myself, you know what? I have run a good race. If right. I lose, I lose. My commitment is to the party.
Right.
So I asked my wife to get my laptop for me, and sat there and said, typing my concession speech. Mm. Okay. Mm. And so the speech, I just said, you know what, thanking the party and everyone, and saying, you know, to the winner. Of course, I didn't know who was going to win. Committing myself to supporting the candidate and the party, and pledging my donation for their campaign. Mm. Okay, so I did this not expecting that I was going to win. And because the first one or two states that voted,
right,
one of the states I believe that they were with me, but when they were filing past, I saw from the body language that they were no longer with me. So that's why I typed the concession speech. Mm. But later on, I started noticing that those people were passing, which kind of like they saw me probably looking downcast, and they would shoot thumbs up and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I started feeling, oh, I might still have this.
Right.
You know, I might still have this. And towards the end, when a lot of the northern states were coming, I just realized, oh, I think I have this in the kitty, right? So when they said counting, and I said, I kept on hearing, do maybe, do maybe, do maybe. And I just realized, oh, that's actually the goodness of man. There's still goodness in man, right? If you give that opportunity to come out. Mm. Okay, so that's what happened. That's how I won. I did the work with the delegates. I was out there in the field with these people, and there was absolutely no vote buying on the part of my campaign whatsoever. We won this free and fair.
Right. And
okay, that's what happened.
Absolutely. And I thank you for your frankness and transparency. And they say the rest is history. And Dumebi became a soundtracker, right, like Rema the musician in that hall. I wonder if you've met him yet. But despite that, I'm sure that I don't know if your party is in the same quandary like several other parties in how you will choose your vice presidential candidate or running mate. A number of parties seem to be in disarray in how this will emerge. Just a lot of talk of identity politics. Are you in the same quagmire, or you found your way out of this one?
So for me, I'm looking for a candidate who has a bit of experience, a candidate who shares the same values I share. So I'll quickly tell you what my values are. I believe in one Nigeria. I believe that we should demote and demote every talk of tribe, tongue, and religion in Nigeria. I believe we should promote meritocracy. Mm. Okay, I believe that we should aspire to have a common charter that binds all Nigerians, a common vision that we all aspire to, that unites all of us under the green, white, green of our flag. Okay,
right.
So I'm not a proponent of zoning whatsoever. I'm not into any of that. Okay. So I want a candidate that has the same mindset, the same belief, or the same value system that I have, right? And in looking for a candidate, you also have to be strategic also in terms of getting numbers, okay. And what have you. So I have narrowed down to about three names. I am in consultation, okay? I want to ensure that whenever I announce the name of the candidate, that it's someone who's going to be acceptable, someone who can do the job. The vice president is a president because he's one phone call away from being the president of Nigeria. So I am mindful of what goes into this decision, okay? So it's a consultative process is ongoing right now, and in the next 2 to 3 days, I will make that announcement.
I want to deal with the politics before we get into the real issue. I can imagine what the number one issue on your table, if you were elected president, you would have to deal with. I just saw something happen. I'm sure that will probably be number one on the list. If you're watching, you probably have a clue. 99.3 Nigeria Info, we have the presidential candidate of the African Democratic Congress, Dumebi Kachukwu. He's called himself the Dark Horse, but appears that he's done his homework and has emerged as the party's candidate ahead of next year's general election. And our countdown to 2023 series. You can send us messages on WhatsApp 0809-597-5805. It's the general feeling, Dumebi, among the people about how the parties will have to form coalitions to be able to win the election in 2023. All of them who have been emerging, they've been asked the question, will you have to form a coalition or you want to go this on your own? What are your thoughts in terms of forming a coalition? And of course, it will lead us to this the interesting concept of a third force.
Well, I think a lot of people who don't understand the politics of Nigeria, I think people who are not in the political arena, they always talk about this coalition, you know. Mm. The real issue we have in Nigeria is the Nigerian people, okay?
Right.
And when you talk about a coalition, is it a coalition of the Nigerian people or against the Nigerian people? Mm. Because the truth is that on that ballot, right, we'll have Buhari and his government. We are there to vote against Buhari and his government, against all their failed promises, against all their failures. But at the same time, the Nigerian people are going to be on the ballot because the Nigerian people actually, to a large extent, put Buhari in office. And this same Nigerian people are to determine who is going to lead us. And these Nigerian people have an apathy to government and governance. They are absolutely not interested. So you can form 10, 20 coalitions. You can form one coalition. Mm. As long as the generality of Nigerians have this apathy towards government and governance, mm. as long as they are not determined to exercise their democratic franchise, okay, their patriotic duty, it's still the same story. You still have these big parties who have huge sums of money who can buy votes in the rural areas, okay? Mm. People like you and I hardly ever vote. We are 40, 50 million men strong. If we were determined to vote, we will set this nation on a different trajectory. But we don't do that. We have picnics on election day. Mm. They say today's election, that's the day a lot of us want to have all these picnics and what have you, you know. We don't want to go out and vote. Two reasons we always give. We say there's going to be insecurity, and we say your votes don't count. Those are the two main reasons people give. Mm. And the two big parties promote that because they don't want you to vote. Mm. They know the day you decide to vote, they will be out of office. Mm. You can see what's happening with PVC's registration right now, okay? INEC says go register for PVCs, but the same INEC seems to be frustrating those who want to register for their PVCs because they know that if all these people register, they will vote out the government in power, right? Mm. So the Nigerian people will be on that ballot. We are going to be telling the world who we are. Mm. We've complained for too long. We have an opportunity to set Nigeria on the right path, okay? Mm. What will we do in 2023? We will be on the ballot and the world is watching us. Mm.
So you're not interested if anyone walks up to you, whether it's from any of the two parties or any of the other parties, to say, Dumebi, we want to do some horse trading with you. What do you think?
So tell you what, horse trading has to be towards a determined end or goal, okay? If as a party we have the same value systems, we want the same for Nigeria, right?
Right.
We are willing to talk with all like-minded parties, okay? I am not in this race for the sake of getting power. It's not about that. I'm in this race because I'm tired of living in a country that does not work for everyone. Certainly doesn't work for me and my family. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of hearing the same story all the time. I want to see a difference in my lifetime. And I realized that for too long, I have been part of the people who all they do is complain. I want to be part of the people who are willing to do something about this. Now, what you will notice anytime, or like I tell people, Nigeria is like a burning building, right?
Right.
Assassins have set this building on fire. And then you have a multitude trying to put out the fire. But in the midst of that fire, right, the same people who set out the building on fire are there trying to put out the fire. Mm. And you wonder why. Why do the usual suspects who destroyed our country, why is it in every election season, they come out instead of hiding their heads in shame? Here's why. Anytime you have chaos or anarchy, area boys thrive. Mm. They come out to loot. So these usual suspects, this is the opportunity to loot because there's anarchy in Nigeria, there's chaos, and they come because they know it's always an opportunity to loot the treasury, okay?
Right.
So am I going to align myself or form a coalition with the people who set Nigeria on fire? Absolutely not. Mm. Now, there are people who I say are probably like-minded people who we can work with as long as we have the same value system, as long as our goals are the same, why not? Mm. But ultimately, we have to be close to the finish line too, because you know what? What's going to happen is that Nigerians are going to process all the parties, all the candidates. Mm. And as they process and refine you, people will be clear as to who the different candidates are as we get closer to the election, okay? Mm. And at that point, we'll all know ourselves and we'll know those who are like-minded and those who are not. Then discussions at that point will begin to make sense if we should have those conversations, okay?
All right, Dumebi. We're going to go on a break, and enough time at least for people to walk around a little bit and get their thoughts well arranged. Maybe grab some soda, popcorn, guguru, ekpa, kuli kuli, anything that makes the boat rock. When we come back, Dumebi will talk to us about the thing, if he was woken up first thing in the morning, that he sets him aside from all of the other candidates who have emerged ahead of next year's general election. Dumebi Kachiku, the presidential candidate of the African Democratic Congress, will be with us right after this break. Please stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. And big hat facts today is our road to 2023. Dumebi Kachiku is the presidential candidate of the African Democratic Congress. And media mogul has made a name for himself telling stories. And the most important story I can imagine Kachiku has to now tell us is what is the number one thing that he thinks will make a difference in the life of the everyday Nigerian, which has propelled him to become his party's candidate and seek the nation's number one job. Don't forget to get us on WhatsApp 08095975805. Again, 08095975805. Interesting comments I'm seeing already on WhatsApp. Lagos, of course, will talk with Kachuku at some point too, on what they think about your bid for the country's number one job. So what's that number one thing, Dubebe Kachuku?
Well, I don't have a number one thing. I will say that this is this will be a primary focus, and I'll tell you why. Nigeria is like a bucket that has multiple holes. If you stitch one hole, the bucket is still leaking. You have to have a multi-pronged approach to the multifaceted problems we have in Nigeria. So if you say your focus is security, what happens to light? Like you saw what happened whilst we're on right now, okay? So we have to have a multi-pronged approach to all these problems that we have in Nigeria.
Right.
Okay, but I believe that to start to tackle these problems again, we first of all have to determine what our common charter is, who we are as a people. I think that once we can identify that, that is going to be the rallying cry that will propel us to solve all our problems. My job as president of Nigeria is to envision, okay? Is to show the way forward, provide a vision, put the right team in place to go implement that vision for all Nigerians, is to try and get all Nigerians to rally around my vision, okay? And if you can't get the people to buy into that vision, to rally around your vision, you are not able to be able to face all the multifaceted problems affecting us. So I like to say that Nigeria is a nation of sinners in search of a saint, right? That's who we are as a nation. And we all have to understand that this is who we are, okay? No saint there. Everyone has seen, but we just have to then now come together and say, are we going to continue on this path, or are we going to take a totally different path and see how we can rescue ourselves from where we are going to? Okay, and that's my job as president of Nigeria. Okay, charting us in a different direction and getting people to buy into that vision and getting all of us to walk towards that vision.
So tell us again what that vision is. So people who are listening, for example, can understand this is the Dubebe Kachuku vision.
Okay. First of all, I believe that we need to start building a country that works for everyone. We need to start understanding that we need to lift the weak, the poor, okay, and the elderly. We need to bring them all up. We need to start understanding that we have to be in a country where we promote meritocracy and demote mediocrity. We need to be in a country where all men are equal before the law. There's no different law for the weak and poor, different law for the rich and the elites. We need to be in a country where we understand that education is a right for all citizens. We need to be in a country where we don't have two school systems or two public health systems or two systems for everything for the rich and poor. We need to be in a country where we should all share equitably in our pains and in our joys. We need to be in a country where when you do the crime, you are short of doing the time. We need to be in a country where we have world-class infrastructure. We need to be in a country where we understand that we should no longer be thinking about just talking about awarding contracts for highways, whereas the world looking at broadband as a highway of the future. We need to be in a country where we understand that broadband is a fundamental right for all citizens. We need to be in a country where we know that half of our population, almost half of our population, they are unemployed or underemployed, and we need to promote Nigerians as our greatest asset, as against looking at oil and gas, all the other sundry items as our assets. Also, we need to be in a country where all men understand that we stand under the banner of love. We are in a country where we hate ourselves. We don't care for ourselves. We don't care for ourselves in Nigeria. I see this every day. It makes me very, very sad. Every bad thing that happens in Nigeria is just part of a new cycle. You hear it, you move on. Most people don't realize that it's something people were killed in Benue State some days ago. As a nation, it doesn't touch us. We don't feel it. We are desensitized to a lot of these things. You know, in America, almost 2 weeks after the killings in the school, they are still talking about it every day, still headline news. In Nigeria, it happens. Look at the killings in our war. It happens. We are desensitized. 2-3 days in the news, and we've moved on from that, okay? We are desensitized to all the things that happen to us because the Nigerian syndrome has taken over our hearts and our minds, okay? It's become commonplace to us, everything that happens is commonplace, right? It's normal. It's normal to have murder happen almost on a daily basis. It's normal for trade in human parts to be happening. It's normal for people to be kidnapped. It's normal for us to be in a country where we have hundreds of kids still in kidnappers then as we speak. It's normal for us to have victims of the Kaduna train bombing incident still to be in the kidnappers then. And you see our president, our governor having meetings, laughing, having a convention, and there are people there left to their own devices. We have to start living in a country where we care about everyone.
And where your problem is. Great point in terms of a bucket where there are several holes. I mean, anyone coming into office is facing a nation in crisis in almost every sector. You mentioned education. Even if you don't have the children abducted in some of the states in this country, you have the tertiary institutions, polytechnic and university students out of school.
Exactly.
This is a defied solution in terms of how this can be dealt with. What are your thoughts if you take education
let me tell you what the biggest problem I see there.
Right.
Almost 2-3 decades of the same problem. Do you know what I see there? The two parties have no vested interest in the education. Their kids are all school overseas. Okay? They have no real vested interest in the education. And that's why these kids are left to suffer. I remember I was a student activist. And at that time when this riot started and then lecturers would go on strike, I remember most lecturers then were sending their kids overseas to the UK, to America, right? And we were fighting for Nigeria, fighting for them to have better paychecks. School was closed down and lecturers' kids were overseas. We see the same situation today. Their kids and grandkids are school overseas. Those in government, their kids are overseas. And then the people who suffer are the poor Nigerians who can't afford to school overseas. Until we understand that these two parties have no real interest, we will not be able to do anything. Well, here's what I want to do.
Right.
My first act as president of Nigeria would be to send a bill I call the Nigerian Patriot Act to the National Assembly. It's a bill that says we're all in this together. We'll all share in our problems. If you're a public servant, your kids can school in foreign schools.
Right.
If you're a public servant, you can't have a generator in your house. If you're a public servant, you can have a borehole in your house. If you're a public servant and you're traveling within Nigeria, except it's an emergency, you will travel by road so you can know what our roads feel and look like. If you are the director of a company that has its license for primary operation from government, this also applies to you. Tell you what, if we as the elites know that we have to use the government hospitals, trust me, those hospitals will be functioning within 6 months. Our schools will all be working if we know our kids have to go to those schools. As long as our kids are not affected, they don't have to use those schools, we are good. We're paying $10,000 per term for our kids to go to schools in good private schools in Nigeria. But if our kids have to go to these public schools, trust me, those schools will be working. The hospitals will be working. We're in a situation as a country where in the last 2 years, a lot of our doctors, medical professionals, left Nigeria for foreign shores.
Right.
We didn't care what just happened. In the midst of a pandemic, this was going on. No one said anything. And our middle class are checking out of Nigeria all the time. The middle class is the mainstay of any economy, of any society. And we're seeing these people leaving Nigeria to Canada, to the UK, to America. Every day someone is leaving Nigeria. We're not saying anything. Guess what's happening?
Right.
When they live with their talents. They live with their savings. It leaves the Nigerian economy. Who's going to build Nigeria? And we watch this happen. And this is happening because there's no security in Nigeria. The economy has failed spectacularly. Our government seems like they are completely clueless in tackling all the myriad of problems we have in Nigeria. So we're seeing this happen. And tell you what, you know the biggest mistake we make? We fight ourselves.
Right. So
we don't look at these guys.
Right. So to maybe, you know, great ideas and the vision you sort of encapsulate in what you say can happen if, for example, you're elected into office. But there's also the issue of the National Assembly A lot of what you talk about will have to go through legislation. People for many years have complained either the National Assembly is too slow or is not on the same page on many of these issues. I remember there was a legislation asking lawmakers put out, let public office holders send their children to schools abroad. It didn't even get past the first reading. They kicked it out.
So yes, I worked and I encourage Honorable Sergius Ogun on that bill. Okay, it's evolved from the bill. If you check Nigerian Patriot Act, I put out about 2 years ago. Okay, so the bill I was going to sponsor. Tell you what, yes, we say this, we know this, but what have Nigerians done? What are you doing about this? You want a National Assembly that works, right? So what are we doing? Parties like the ADC, we said that if you are a youth, come run for free on our platform. Women, people with disabilities, come and run on our platform. Because we want to populate houses of assembly, National Assembly, with people of a different mindset. How many people responded to this call? How many Nigerians are running for office that are not the old brigade or the old order? We like to talk as a people, but when it comes to crunch time, when it comes to doing or walking our talk, we just don't do it. That's why I said Nigerians are going to be on the ballot. You see Nigerians in a lot of different fora, talking, chatting, Twitter, everything, saying all sorts of things. But you are talking. Go walk your talk. Go pick up the form and run for office. They didn't do this. These are very smart people. You have the energy to chat on Twitter all day. Go run for office. We cannot let these people continue to be the only ones running for office. Right. You don't want to run for office, but chatting on Twitter all day is like being in parliament. Contribute your quota by being in office.
Right. Let's get to the People's Parliament, which is Lagos State here, and where a lot of people are listening in on Road to 2023. Last time I checked, we got over 6 million people on the voter register in Lagos State. To probably be close to 7, 8 billion. We hope that we defy the odds of the past, where the Southwest hasn't often turned up for ballot. Going by what we hear on radio and on the streets, it appears people want to be repentant and decide their future for themselves. The number to call, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. We have with us Dumebi Kachukwu, who is the presidential candidate of the African Democratic Congress. And we're taking also messages on WhatsApp. The ladies' line, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. So Dumebi, we're taking maybe two or three calls because we are far pressed for time, and you can react to them once we have them. So let's take in the first call. Sorry about that. Do call back. Hello and good evening.
This is Samuel from Igbo.
All right, Samuel, let's make this quick. All right, looks like Samuel went back to Eagle Square. Hello and good evening.
Hello, Ago. Good evening. This is Achike from First Tag.
All right, Achike, let's do this quickly.
Yeah, I agree with the candidate there. I can see he's a man that might not have the power of the other parties, but he has the ability. So my question to him is that, what was his counter for our favorite line that these smaller parties do not have structure? And if he wins, how does he plan to counter his party not really having people in Senate and Reps position? Those are my questions.
All right, thank you very much, Achike. Did you get that?
I got the question. Actually, it's a brilliant question. You get that all the time. So, two things.
So let me do something. I just wanted to show that you heard. So, I'll take in just one more call and you can then respond. Hello and good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Aha. Great to have you, Eze Doom. Let's do this quickly.
Eze Doom from Sulu.
Go ahead.
Good evening, Dumebi.
Good evening.
Actually, I did not believe that Nigerians are the problem. The people are the politicians. Nigerian politicians believe that they are the best. They don't want to support another person. I am not happy with the way the answer the Mubi gave you on the prospect of forming coalition. ADC doesn't have the clout to win the presidency. Now, throughout the world, smaller parties pull together to rescue their country. ACN, ACPC, and other party form coalition and throw away PDP out of governance. If you really believe in Nigeria, and you don't know, and you know that your party don't have the structure to win the presidency, it will be a disservice to Nigeria if you don't enter coalition with other progressive party to rescue Nigeria from APC.
All right, thank you very much.
I want him to change his stand. Winning Nigerian presidency is not only speaking grammar. It is forming coalition
right.
And being on ground.
All right, thank you very much. And I wish you could see the dashboard. Got so many calls trying to call in. Most of the messages do maybe around this coalition thing. So I'll summarize all the messages they're sending on WhatsApp. A lot of people appear really interested on your thoughts about the coalition. So I guess you respond to the call. Right, go ahead, please.
Okay, so the first question is about issue of structure. Okay. Prior to the primaries, in trying to counter that, okay, my party, the ADC, we told Nigerians, okay, all Nigerians, if you're a youth, if you're a woman, if you're a person with disability, come take, you can run for free. Mm. Come and go through the primaries, okay, for free. So that way, if you have something, if you're patriotic, if you have something to offer to your nation, okay, this is the opportunity for you to do that, okay? So we put it out there. What was the response like? It's very poor. Mm. My party was not the only party to do this. Some other parties did that. Nigerians didn't come to join us. And let me tell you now, guys, why it was important, right? Mm. A party structure is not a building. A party structure is the aspirations of all the people running for office. Mm. Down ballot, up ballot, the aspirations of everyone, okay? So it starts from the House of Assembly guy. His aspiration is the first structure. The House of Rep now comes to build his aspiration on the structure House of Assembly has built. Mm. Senate layers his own on that. The governorship guy builds his own on that. And then the presidential aspirant builds his aspiration on the structure those guys have built. Mm. That's how a structure is built. It's built on the aspirations of people. Now, when you don't have the aspirations enough, so you have people running for all the offices in the land, mm. What do you then do? You are then depending on the people. You are depending on a mass movement where the people undertake and say, hey, this is our job. This is our movement. We'll do anything to take out these people. Mm. Similar to what happened when APC came in, okay? Mm. APC came in and what happened? They mobilized people. They marshaled people using social media, everything, and they kicked out the Jonathan administration. That's what they did. The people formed those structures. APC didn't have candidates across the country, right? Mm. But because of the bandwagon effect of the presidential win, people then won. Answer to the second question is, what do you then do in the National Assembly that is not your party candidates? What happens is, typically in Nigeria, what we see is that when you have a president who has emerged, everyone wants to be part of the ruling party and people immediately start looking at how they will defect and what have you, okay? But tell you what, is that ideal? That's not ideal. With the new electoral law and this new system, what we're hoping is that when you have a country that works for all, people realize that opposition is key to the workings of any government.
So, maybe
as a government, you realize that it's important to have the checks and balances of the opposition.
Let me just summarize and help you for that last question. Will you be willing to work with Peter Obi? Is what they're asking, actually.
Tell you what, right? There are leaders of thought in Nigeria, okay, who have been speaking to me and been speaking to him, okay, about working together. And we understand that strategically, right? The conversation is too early. We will have that conversation because it's important for both of us to be in the game at this time. At the right time, we'll have the conversation when we'll have edged out the two other parties so people see us as the prime candidates to take over government.
We're going to have to leave it at that. We're going to have to leave it at that and keep it in the hat and see what happens in the future. Thank you very much, Dumebi Kachukwu, the presidential candidate of the African Democratic Congress. It's been great speaking with you.
Thanks, Agogo. Thanks for having me, Agogo.
All right, great. And so that's it on Hard Facts 99.3 Nigeria Info. And we'll bring you some more candidates also too as the days go by. We'll go on a quick break when we come back. Time for the news. And after the news, we'll talk some more. 99.3 Nigeria Info.